where the expression mix tape comes from.
Truly.
People may be confused by the lack of tape in the, today's world of mixtapes. This is where it comes from. Literal tape.
But yeah, so just recorded some stuff on that, you know, and you get the bug. Like, once you actually have an idea and you memorialize it, you know, in some form, even if it's just like your little handheld recorder or a Fostex or whatever, and you hear it back, you're just like, oh, wow, that's me. You know, and then you're like, well, what would happen if I could play over the top? And you're like, oh, I got to figure out a way to multi-track. Okay, how do I do that? And I got a Fostex 4-track, and you know,
I fucking forget.
Yeah, you just
I forget the tunes in my head if I don't record them.
The voice memo function on my iPhone is my. You mentioned it earlier, Tony. That's my number one thing because, like, I think a lot of us, we've got tunes in our heads 24/7, and you know, I love the ability to just go to it. And do like a 30-second, oh, here's the idea, and you can talk it out to yourself. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing to do, we were talking about what you do when you get stuck. Yeah. One of my favorite things to do when I get stuck is to do voice memo roulette, where I just like, and I scroll through, and I just start going through random voice memos. And I'm like, oh, that's a sick riff. Let's develop that. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely been the case that whole songs have come together out of bits and bobs that were...
You do a little sketch here and there, and then... pull them back out and fit them together. Do you ever go back and listen to something and you have absolutely no recollection recording it? Think like, well, that's pretty good.
I discovered. I literally have a file called Bits and Bobs, right? I'm just putting those and I love and I'm like, oh, what? 2016? What? You know?
Okay, so that's another sort of lesson I hear coming out. It's just like, record. Just record the stuff.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't make sense to you in the moment, just hold on to it. Yeah. Tony, how long have you been doing this?
Well,
this thing called songwriting.
I also grew up playing music, and you know, grew up playing piano, classical stuff, and then you know, I didn't get into songwriting until college. So I moved away and couldn't take a piano with me, so I bought a guitar and always wanted to play guitar, so I taught myself how to do that. Was in a couple of bands where I didn't really think about writing. I was like, I'm just going to play and sing or accompany. And then after a while, again, you just sort of get pushed into writing at some point, as I think is the way I would put it. It's like, I've got all this nervous energy. I got to put it out there, and then I guess I'm just going to try writing a song, right?
Yeah.
And I think the thing about it that, Tucker, you were just saying is, like, you know, once you commit something to paper or write it, there's a transition. It's no longer yours in the way, or it's no longer like just stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And it's so real. I talk about how, like, music's always been therapy for me, because it takes the things that are just like just floating around, and it allows you to commit to it, and then just like, well, now it's here,
right?
And now it's something that I can come back to and visit. It doesn't 100%. Friggin' haunt me all the time, right? And that's really real for me, right? It's like one of those things, like, oh, you know, and you know, we're talking about in some of these notes, it's like, you know, songs mark time, they mark moments and whatnot, and it is a bit of that, right?
Absolutely.
The other piece of that is writing something that might maybe marks a moment for you, but is open enough that it can also be moments for other people. I think you were talking about that, Dave. It's just like, you know, songs that you might love change across your own history.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a great point. Like, I find, so I started off when I was quite young, very into hard rock, and eventually, you know, evolved into a headbanger. You know, I had long hair, and I liked heavy metal. But then at some point, I didn't like it anymore because many reasons, I guess. But I find that actually metal music means more to me now than I did when I was 15, because a lot of the songs are about struggle and survival and being pissed off, and I find that way more relatable now.
Yeah.
I like Metallica way more now than I did when I was 15.
Yeah, it hits a little deeper now.
It does, it does. Hey, so we didn't talk about this before, but I just had an idea. Like, do you want to do like a little set like you might do at Sunday's Best? I don't know, play three songs, whatever.
Sure.
See how that goes, and then you can do the same?
Sure.
All right. We got time. We're here for another hour or so. So,
can I ask a question before we
absolutely, yeah.
and leave this topic? I'm curious, are there songs that you've written that you loved then when you wrote them, and over time your relationship with your own song has changed? Do you have any, is that a thing that you experience, where like in that time capsule way where you look back on it and you think to yourself, wow, that is a time capsule and I'm definitely not, and you know, that's
it's sort
what's that relationship like
no,
with
that's
you and your historical songwriting?
I think there are certainly songs that sort of come from a distinct moments, right? And I think the thing that I probably spend a lot of, maybe too much time thinking about, is like, how do I capture this moment and also veil it enough so that other people can attach to it?
Nice.
Right? So yeah. I mean, I think it's if it's too specific, then it's really hard to see yourself in it.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's pieces of that, and I think it's one of the things that, you know, at the time it might be really something that's very intense, and then it becomes something that we can share. Right? Okay. So it still is a song or something that captures the essence of something that's really important to you,
yeah,
but is still open enough for everyone else. And I think the other piece of that is, like, I'm not crazy precious about how that song was played when it was written, if that makes sense, right? And I think, you know, I'm not at a point where, like, oh, that song doesn't sound like it did when the record came out. Like, I don't have that. Right. Yeah. So if that song changes, and I think and often it changes with different musicians, as long as we're not changing the body of the song, if it goes faster or slower or darker or whatnot, it's cool. I'm open with that. Right. Because like the song adapts to the players
totally,
as much as it adapts to the moment. Right. And I think I kind of think that's fun, too. Right.
Absolutely.
Like, so
it's like those bare bones we were talking about. When you strip, you have the song skeleton, and it's like different players bring their own energy, their own aesthetic, their own style.
Yeah.
And the song takes on new wings each time it's played.
And it can run that way.
Yeah.
You know? Cool. I think that's so now you're making me think, like, okay, so
take a
I'm gonna look for songs that
I just wanted to like give a you know, underscore that. Just hearing, like, speaking of Metallica, I saw them once. I've seen them several times. But once I saw them, and the singer, James Hetfield, started by saying, like, this song, it meant something then, means something different now. And then, you know, it's Creeping Death or whatever. And I find myself singing that song, like, when I'm, you know, working in the yard now as a dad. I'm like, die, die, die.
Yeah.
But I'm singing it to the Poison Ivy or the Pope. Or whatever.
Nice.
All right. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
It's not interruption. That's right on point.
Is this the evolution. A conversation amongst friends?
And absolutely.
But yeah, let's see. A couple songs. So this is one of those songs that we were just talking about. Like, this was written at a time that was... maybe a very more drunken time in my life, and also this was like a crazy fast song, but on this guitar and in this moment I'm going to play it totally differently. It's called The Bends. Moving forward on a sea that never ends, diving deep just to come up with the bends. I'm still diving. Riding on yet another downtown train, wondering if you'd ever call my name. I'm still riding, and if you say to me, come meet me by and by, looking around, just wondering where you are. I'm still sliding, tossing back, wondering if I've gone insane. Is it me? Is it you? Who's to blame? Touching all my friends, and I'm still counting, heading out into another Friday night, hoping that this time I get this right. Tonight I'm buying. If you say to me, come meet me by and by, please don't come for me Benz.
Live on Radio Valencia. It's live, local, and we're featuring a couple of folks from Sunday's Best here today. Today being June 19th, And Tony, I just wanted to make sure people were grounded in what we were doing here. I didn't mean to like interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's all good.
Tony's
all
doing
good.
A little set, and then Tucker's going to do one. So back over to you, man.
Okay. Oh, gosh. All right. Let's see. I'm looking at these and looking at these notes. We're going to go back to one that is more fairly new. I feel like, so one of the questions that came up earlier is like, where does inspiration come from and whatnot? And I know it can come from lots of different places. And I don't know if I ever start songs with like an intention. Like, I'm going to write a song about this. But like, intention, it just sort of happens. It
yeah.
comes out of the thing. And I think this song sort of starts from the fact that, like, over the last, let's call it the last 18, 24 months, the cycle's been hard. The amount of stuff true coming that. At you's been hard. And, like, and I think, and it feels like none of it fits, which is a weird feeling. And